everybody. Thank you very much. So what I would like to do is to show you a family of theories, one of which is quantum theory. As you'll see, this family is a very natural generalization of quantum theory. Please, Marcus, can you pass the slide? Thank you. So in order to introduce this family, let us first consider how two qubits are described in quantum theory. So here we can see, we have a density matrix for two qubits. As you know, a two-qubit state is characterized by the two block vectors, A and B. So those are three-dimensional real vectors that have modulus at most one. And we also need the correlation matrix, okay, which here we will represent as a vector of dimension D squared, or 3 squared, which is 9. Okay, so the constraints for the block vectors are that the modulus is at most 1, and the constraints for C are the ones that allow the matrix rho to be positive. Okay, please, Marcus. Well, for a single qubit, effects are represented by block vectors. And here we have written the joint probability for Alice getting outcome X and Bob getting outcome Y. And in the previous slide, you may wonder why to represent the state, we put this extra one in the vector, okay? So we represent states by A, B, and C, and we also put an extra one. One of the reasons is that this allows to write local effects as product vectors, as you can see here in the slide. And also it has another advantage that allows to write probabilities as scalar products between a state that represents a vector and an effect, okay? So it's a linear function of the state, the probability. Please, Marcus. Good. Here we have how we represent reversible transformations in a two-qubit system. In a single qubit, reversible transformations are, they generate the group SO3, okay? And for two qubits, we have that the local reversible transformations act as seen in the first part, the first half of the slide, okay? Here we also see that the extra redundant one allows us to represent a local reversible transformation as a product matrix. Below, we see how it acts a general reversible transformation, which is just a matrix from the adjoint representation of SU4. Okay, so in this particular representation, everything is made out of real numbers. Okay, so this is one possible way of representing two-qubit systems. Thank you, Marcus. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take this formalism for two qubits, and I'm going to generalize to theories with half systems whose state space is a unit ball, like the block ball, okay, but the dimension of the unit ball is arbitrary, is D. Okay, so let us consider bipartite systems that locally the state space is a unit ball of dimension D. So because the state space is a unit ball, the block vectors, or the generalized block vectors, the only constraint is that the modulus has to be at most 1. And the constraints for C, at this point, we leave them open. Okay, so C is a vector of D squared, and we leave the constraints for C open, except for the following. Please, Marcus. So we are going to assume that this family of theories have the same probability rule as two-qubit systems. And so this state, ABC, has to give well-defined probabilities when we apply local measurements to it. Okay, so we impose that for all block vectors X and Y, C has to allow that this quantity, this scalar product, gives a number between 0 and 1. Okay, so this is the first set of constraints for C, and this is the same to say that our state space has to be a subset of the maximal tensor product of two systems whose state space is a unit ball. Please, Marcus. Okay. A system whose state space is a unit ball always has two distinguishable states and no more. Well, assuming that there is at least one tight effect. Okay. And the reason to see this is that if we put, if we want to distinguish one state, here I have represented the state space, and our probability formula tells that probabilities are linear functions of the state. So here I have represented a function of the state space that go from the value 1 when it's deep blue up to the value 0 when it's completely white. Okay, so this is the probability of obtaining that outcome for all states in this particular state space, which is a unit ball. And here you can see that it is impossible to have more than one state at the completely white point. Because if there were more than one state at the completely white point, that would mean that there are states, that there are points that are more white than white, or equivalently give negative probabilities. Okay, so a single system whose state space is a unit ball of arbitrary dimension has only two distinguishable states. So you don't have to, you do not have to confuse this unit ball with the unit ball of vectors in the Hilbert space that represent pure states, okay? Because probabilities are quadratic as a function of the elements of the Hilbert space, okay? So this is the analog of density matrix, okay? As in one qubit, the elements of the block ball are density matrices, okay? So we have that a system of two balls, a bipartite system. Now I'm going to say that a ball system is also a binary system because it's a system with two distinguishable states. Okay, so a system made out of two binary systems has at least four distinguishable states. Okay, because I can encode one bit in each of the two binary systems. But it could have more than four. We don't know that, and I'm not going to impose any constraint to this. So I leave this possibility free. Okay, please, Marcus. Okay, so in these theories, so we have at least one theory for any value of the dimension d, general reversible transformations form a group that acts in this real vector that represents a state, a general state, and we, at this point, we don't impose any constraint to this group of reversible transformations, except for the fact that it must contain all local transformations. And at this point, we assume that the transformations in a single binary system, whose state space is a ball, is SOD. Okay, since the ball has dimension D, the group is SOD. Later we will relax this, but at this point let's stick to SOD. So please, Marcus. Another thing that we are going to assume is reversibility. This is an axiom or a postulate that many other authors also assume. The first time I saw it was in the famous paper by Lucien Hardy, Quantum Theory from Five Reasonable Axioms. And it tells that for every pair of pure states, there is a reversible transformation that maps one state to the other state. Okay? This implies that we can generate the set of pure state by just taking one state, for instance, the one in the slide, which is a product state. Okay, so the vector A has modulus 1. So we take this product state, and now we apply all elements of the group G, and this generates a set of pure states. Okay, so if we know the group, then we know the set of pure states. And if we know the set of pure states, we know the set of all states, because we can generate it by just taking mixtures of them. Okay, so the group characterizes the state space. So from now on, we ignore the state space. We don't have to worry about it. All the information is in the group. Please, Marcus. Okay, so which are the constraints for this group? So for each value of the dimension, D, we have, I don't know, maybe more than one theory, one for each of those groups that satisfy these constraints. And the constraints are the following. The first one is saying that the pure states that it generates, or all the set of states that it generates, give consistent probabilities. So when I take a product state, AB, I apply an arbitrary transformation and later I apply a product effect, this has to be to give a number between 0 and 1. Okay? So this is a constraint for all elements of the group G. Okay? And this must hold for all block vectors X, Y, A, and B. The second constraint is that the group must contain all local transformations, okay, that at this point are SOD times SOD. And the third constraint is that the group is connected. Okay, why am I assuming connectedness? Okay, so one reason is, of course, for mathematical convenience, because it allows us to forget about the group and only worry about the Lie algebra. But it also has an important physical meaning. Okay, so from now on, this group G is not the group of all transformations, but only the group of transformations that I can achieve by fine-tuning the dynamics of the system and letting the system evolve for the right amount of time. Okay, so it's the group of transformations generated by time dynamics. And it's not a radical assumption to assume that time dynamics is continuous in time. Okay, so every transformation can be generated by composing many infinitesimal ones, and this is equivalent to say that the group is connected. There may be other kind of transformations. For instance, if those are my two binary systems, Alice and Bob, swapping them is a transformation that in principle is not achievable by time dynamics, although in quantum theory it is, but it may not be the case. Okay, we don't know that, and I'm not going to say anything about this. Okay, so G is not necessarily the whole group of transformations, but only the ones that are generated by time dynamics. And once we have these three constraints, this is just a very particular mathematical problem. So it consists of saying, for each value of D can be 2, 3, 4, 5, etc., which groups G satisfy these constraints? And we have obtained the complete solution of this problem, and is in the following slide, please, Marcus. The solutions for dimension 3 are the following. First, we have that the group is just the group of local transformations, which of course contains the group of local transformations and it satisfies the constraints. And this is the same to say, because dimension 3 is like saying that our system locally is a quantum bit, a qubit, okay? Dimension 3 is the quantum case. So this first solution is equivalently to say that our theory is quantum theory restricted to separable states. Okay, so we have quantum theory for two qubits, but restricted to separable states. The second solution is no more and no less than standard quantum theory for two qubits. Okay, and the third solution is just taking the previous and applying the partial transposition to all the transformations. Okay, this turns out to be just another representation of the same theory. Okay, so it's equivalent to quantum theory for two qubits, at least if we keep ourselves with two qubits. Okay, for dimension different than 3, so 2, 4, 5, etc., it turns out that the only possible solution that satisfies the constraints is that the group is equal to the group of general transformations is just the group of local transformations, and it cannot contain any one more. Okay, so what we have here, we have an infinitely big family of theories, okay, and quantum theory is one of them, and quantum theory is the only one that has entanglement or that has non-locality. Okay, all the others do not have entanglement, and of course they don't have non-locality. Please, slide. Okay, so in several works, it has been analyzed the relationship between the geometry of the local state space and the amount of non-locality of the theory. And also, the amount of non-locality has been related to how many reversible transformations are allowed. Okay? But here, with the result that I just presented, we see that this relationship is very subtle. Okay? Because one could say that the geometry of the local state space, if it's a unit sphere of dimension 2 or 3, is not that different. In particular, the uncertainty relations are the same for a sphere of dimension 2, 3, 4, and so on. However, there is a dramatic change in the amount of non-locality when we impose reversibility, okay? Because in dimension 2, non-locality is not allowed, and in dimension 3, it is allowed, okay? So we see that once we assume reversibility, this trade-off between local state-space geometry and non-locality is quite subtle, because it may depend on things that are not pure geometry, okay? Please, slide. Okay, so now what I want to do is to even generalize more this family of theories. So what we're going to do is we still stick to the case where locally the state space is a unit ball of dimension D, but now we relax the fact that the group of local transformations has to be S O D. Okay? We let the group to be arbitrary, and we call it L, but it has to satisfy two conditions. One is reversibility, so for every pair of pure states there is a transformation that maps one to the other. In the case of the unit ball, the set of pure states are the points in the unit sphere, okay? So L has to be a group, a matrix group, which is transitive on the sphere in mathematical language. And L has to, we still assume that L is just the group of transformations generated by time dynamics, so L has to be connected. Please, Marcus. Okay, we are very lucky because mathematicians have classified all the groups that are connected and transitive on the sphere. Okay, and I learned about this classification because Lucien Harvey told me about it. Here we see, of course, SOD for all possible cases. SOD for dimension 2 is not written because it's exactly the same as U1. Okay, in that particular representation of U1. Okay, so I got rid of some dimensions to not repeat the groups. Things to say about this list. We have families of groups. We have groups that only work in one particular dimension. Also important to say that L is not the abstract group. Of course, L is not the group of unitaries, because the group of unitaries is made out of complex numbers, and L is made out of real numbers. Okay, so L are particular representations of the groups in the first column. Okay, so it's not the for some cases L is not the fundamental representation of the group, but one particular representation, which obviously is real. Okay, another thing that I can say about this list is that in those representations, for every particular value of D, all groups are subgroups of SOD. Okay. And another thing that can be pointed out is that for dimension 3, the only possibility is SO3, so quantum theory. Okay. Please, Marcus. Good. So now we have, again, the same problem as before, but more general. So the first constraint is the same. It's just saying that the state space generated by applying the group G to a particular pure state, or any state, is a subset of the maximal tensor product of two unit balls of dimension D. Okay, so it's saying that probabilities have to be numbers between 0 and 1. The second constraint is that G must contain the group of local transformations, but now local transformations are not necessarily SOD times SOD, but L times L, where L is any of the groups from the previous list. And we still stick to connectedness. Okay? And again, this is a completely well-defined mathematical problem, and we can solve it. So for every value of D, there may be more than one group L, and for each group L and each value of D, there may be more than one group G, which is a solution, and all those things amount perhaps to different theories. And all these theories are obtained in the next slide. Please, Marcus. Okay, so because for dimension 3, the only possibility is SO3, we still have the same result as in the previous case. So we have quantum theory restricted to separable states, standard quantum theory, and another representation of standard quantum theory. Now, for dimension different than 3, dimension 2, 4, 5, etc., we have that G must be, it's in any case, so G may have transformations that cannot be generated locally, okay? But in any case, it's always a subgroup of SOD times SOD. And the group SOD times SOD does not generate any entanglement at all. And hence, it doesn't generate any non-locality, okay? So we still have the same result. Although we have massively enlarged this family of theories, it's still the case that quantum theory is the only one that allows for entanglement. Okay? Please, Marcus. Okay. Now what I want to do is to organize a bit. So I have defined this family of theories by just making an analogy with quantum theory. So the same kind of effect, the same probability rule, but actually this can be derived from some axioms, okay? And it's helpful to see what are the things that we are assuming, okay? So let me tell you about another way to define this family of theories. It's just the set of theories that satisfy the following axioms, okay? Well, in the first line, I just have some axioms that are like, some authors call them, I don't know. I mean, they are a bit marginal, and also most authors assume them. So it would be that finiteness would be that we only care about finite dimensional state spaces. So for instance, the state space, local state space, the unit ball has dimension D and D is finite. Okay, we are assuming that. Okay, we are assuming causality, and this morning you have heard Lucien Hardy and Perinotti talking about causality. We assume convexity, that an experimentalist can prepare arbitrary mixtures of things by just ignoring information, and this amounts to say that transformations act linear on the kind of state that I am considering. Also, closeness is like a topological condition that doesn't have any operational consequence. Okay, so I'm not going to spend much time talking about these axioms. Okay, number two, local tomography. Local tomography, you've heard about it. It means that the state of a bipartite system can be characterized by checking the statistics when making local measurements on the two components. Okay, continuous reversibility is the combination of reversibility. So for every pair of pure states, there is a reversible transformation that maps one to another. And additionally, the group of reversible transformations is connected, okay? And boldness, it tells us that locally our state space is a unit ball. Of course, this family of theories is a very restricted thing because we only care about bipartite systems of that locally are binary, okay, at this point. Of course, the axiom of boldness is completely ridiculous, okay? So let's try to substitute this by something else. Okay, please, Marcus. It turns out that boldness can be substituted by perfect distinguishability and information saturation. Please, Marcus. Perfect distinguishability is an axiom that I have borrowed from the work of Chirivella, Perinotti, and Dariano, and you've heard about it in the previous talk. It tells that every state that is not maximally mixed can be perfectly distinguished from some other state. And this, by maximally mixed, they mean that the state is in the boundary of the state space, as in the example written here. Please, Marcus. And so, as I said before, we represent linear functions or effects by this grading of color that goes from 1 to 0. And here you can see that if this state has to be distinguished from someone else, some other state, then there must exist the extremal effect that corresponds to the plane phase set that you can see in this state space. Okay? So perfect distinguishability is completely equivalent to all extremal effects correspond to outcome probabilities. All extremal effects are allowed measurements. Okay? And this will be useful later. Thank you. Yeah. Please. So now, let's talk about information saturation. Okay, this may sound new, but it is not new, because actually it captures exactly the same idea as information causality. Okay, but it has some differences. Okay, information causality talks about bipartite correlations between outcomes of measurements, and this talks about single systems. Okay, also information causality is expressed with Shannon mutual information, and here we don't need to do that. Okay, so it says that when a system with n distinguishable states is used to perfectly encode an n-valued variable, it cannot additionally encode any other information. Okay, so suppose that Alice has a system, okay, that has two distinguishable states. Okay, so she can encode perfectly one bit. But imagine that Alice wants to encode two bits, okay, the bit A and the bit B. Okay, so Alice encodes the best she can, the bit A and the bit B, in the state of the system, and sends the system to Bob, okay? Now, Bob, if Bob wants to know the bit A, he will make a particular measurement, and he will obtain the guess for A, which is A prime. And if Bob wants to know the bit B, he will make another measurement, and the outcome will be B prime, which is the guess for B, okay? So the primes are the guesses for non-primes. Okay, information saturation says that if the system is encoding perfectly bit A, so here you see that the probability distribution of A prime conditioned on A is just a Kronecker delta. Okay, if that's the case, then it must be the case that the system contains no information about B. Okay, so the probability distribution for B prime must be independent of B. Okay? So, as you see, it has completely the flavor of information causality, but it's a bit different, and it is actually weaker. Okay? So, what I'm going to do now is to show you an example of a particular system that violates information causality. And this happens when the state space is a square. Okay? So, this, I have here the square and two points, two states. Please, Marcus. These two states can be perfectly distinguished with this effect, okay, that goes horizontally, okay? But also, the same effect can be used to perfectly distinguish these two other states. Please, Marcus. Okay, also horizontally, we can distinguish these two other states. But now, Bob could do the vertical effect, please, Marcus, which allows us to distinguish these two states or the other pair of two states, okay? So we see that with a state space that has the shape of a square, Alice can encode two bits, and Bob can perfectly retrieve any of the two. Okay, of course not the two, but he can choose which one he wants to know. Okay, and this is, for instance, not satisfied with quantum theory. And actually, we will see that if perfect discrimination holds, any system that has a facet violates information saturation. Please, Marcus. So let's suppose that we have a system with a state space that has one facet. According to perfectly discriminability, this particular point in the right can be distinguished from some other point with the corresponding effect. Please, Marcus. But also, this effect can be used to distinguish this other point. Please, Marcus. These other pairs of points. Okay, so we can encode A perfectly in two different ways, okay? And this doesn't make the coding of A worse. So A is always coded perfectly. And the fact that we can encode A in two different ways allows us to partially transmit some other information. Please, Marcus. So with this effect that goes vertically, it doesn't perfectly distinguish the two points in the right, but it delivers some information about which one we are using to encode A, okay? So it partially says something about B. Okay? So we see that information saturation plus perfect distinguishability implies the state space must have no faces. So then all points in the boundary, in the topological boundary, are pure states. Now, if there is a group of reversible transformations, a group of matrices that acts linearly and is transitive on this topological boundary, then it means that the boundary must be a ball or an ellipsoid. Okay, but an ellipsoid is another representation of a ball. Okay, from the point of view of probabilistic theories, it doesn't make any difference. Okay, so then the combination of information saturation plus perfect distinguishability plus reversibility imply ballness. And we can get rid of this axiom of ballness, okay? We can put something a bit more serious. Please, Marcus. So we see that quantum theory is the only possibility which allows entanglement and satisfy the following axioms. One thing here is that actually by substituting ballness by perfect distinguishability and information saturation, we have allowed one more theory to get in our family. And this theory is classical probability theory, okay? Because now we are not saying anything about dimension one. And actually, dimension one would satisfy these axioms and would lead to classical probability theory of two binary systems, two bits, okay? But of course, classical probability theory does not allow for entanglement, so we can still say that quantum theory, although we have enlarged our family of theories, quantum theory is the only possibility that allows entanglement from this family. Okay. Of course, it's very interesting to see what happens beyond two binary systems. And actually, you can talk about this with Gonzalo de la Torre, who is in the conference, and he's presenting a poster about this and about the case for dimension three, because dimension three means that locally the state space is quantum, is a quantum bit. Okay, but we have this question open. This is research that we want to address, but now we don't have results on this. Please, Marcus. So these are my collaborators, and I'm really very thankful to them, since it's a pity that I cannot be in this conference. You can send me emails to my address, which is here, so we can feel free to ask me anything by email or chat by Skype, whatever. Okay, please, Marcus, next slide. Okay, now to finish, let's try to generalize all this. Okay, the first thing that we can relax is connectedness. It turns out that if we relax the connectedness of L, of the group of transformations for a single binary system, nothing changes. Because suppose that L is non-connected, me and Marcus, we have shown that a group that acts transitively in a connected state space, and the set of pure states of a ball is connected, also the maximal connected subgroup of this group acts transitively. Okay, so this implies that if L is non-connected, the maximal connected subgroup of L is one from the list that I have shown you before. Okay, so from these theories that have a non-connected L, they still satisfy the same constraints that we have written before. Okay, so the same applies. Okay, the same applies. Even if L is allowed to be non-connected, we have a larger family of theories, but the only one that has entanglement is quantum theory. Okay, if we allow G to be non-connected, we don't know what happens. The only thing that we can say is that our results say something about the maximal connected subgroup of G, okay? So the conclusion is that this maximal connected subgroup of G will only generate entanglement in the case of dimension 3, and it will generate quantum theory. But we don't know what happens when, in general, when G is not connected. So it could be that it allows some entanglement for some values of dimension different than 3. I find it a very interesting question. I want to address it, but now I don't have results. Okay, please, Marcus. And just to finish, I think that the formalism that we have used to develop all this can be much more generalized, because actually the fact that locally the state space is a ball is something that perhaps could be relaxed, okay, or equivalently we could relax information saturation, perfect distinguishability, okay? And let's consider theories of two systems by now, and the only requirement is reversibility and local tomography, so not even continuous reversibility, okay? And those can be formulated in the following way. Let L be a compact matrix group. It can be finite, it can be infinite, it can be a Lie group, anything, okay? And this will be the group of that will generate the local state space. Okay, this state space may have more than two distinguishable states. We don't care now, okay? We don't put any constraint. Now, for L to generate the group of a state space, we need a reference state. So we need an arbitrary S, okay? And that will generate all pure states. We need also a reference effect, okay, to generate some possible effects. There may be other effects apart from the ones generated by the reversible group, but at least there will be these. We assume that local transformations are included in the group of general transformations, and we also have the consistency of probabilities, okay? We have that those might generate, when measuring a state with an effect, we have to obtain a number between 0 and 1, okay? So these are a very well-formulated mathematical problem, and I would like to see which are the solutions of this problem. And please, Marcus, perhaps someone in the audience know about a theory that it is reversible, locally tomographic, and allows for entanglement. But the only such thing that I know is quantum theory. And in this way, we can see if that's the case. So this is all I wanted to say. Thank you very much. I don't hear anything.
Thank you very much, Lewis. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Great. In that case, let's take some questions from the floor. Has anyone got a question?
Please.
Okay, just one moment.
Luis, just a question from an ignorant. So you say that you are trying to consider what happens for somehow bigger systems than qubits, no? Than two qubits.
Yes.
But if already for two qubits you have excluded everything but quantum physics, so all the other possibilities, we know already quantum physics works, and you know for two qubits it does, and nothing else works. So why do you consider more? I mean, it's done. Well, what is the point?
There could be theories of qubits that have don't have bipartite entanglement, but have some sort of tripartite entanglement.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Okay, you mean that experimentally they are irrelevant. Yeah, I agree with you. My interest is more theoretical.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Cesar.
Hi, Luis Chasler. So I feel I have to say something for the other people. You probably know that exactly the question that you address is in the first part of your talk, namely theories that locally look like quantum mechanics and has a Bloch sphere but of higher dimensions, have been actually addressed in our paper by Dakic and myself, and that from a slightly different assumptions we could actually prove that in this set of theories, quantum theory is the only one that really has entanglement, so it's a very similar result to yours. I acknowledge, of course, that you go beyond our assumption, which was the transformation S of D, that you can relax this, although our proofs goes also for these subgroups. And that you have some different assumptions as well.
So I know your work where you assume the subspace axiom. Is this what you mean?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Okay. Yeah, here. This is more related about what Marcus will talk in the next talk, which definitely we borrow ideas from your work. I just thought that this is just starts another line of research since the subspace axiom, which is really very strong, is not assumed here. It's only reversibility and local tomography. But yeah, I agree.
Any other questions?
Hi, Luis. So this question on your last slide, I think strictly the way you've posed it, the answer must be no, because if I look at, for instance, quantum theory restricted to the stabilizer formalism, or if I look at my toy theory from 2004, then I think, if I understand you correctly, it has all those properties. So I presume you have in mind here a question against a backdrop of other assumptions. So, for example, convexity,
yeah.
The assumption of convexity
rule
out
yeah.
Those other theories.
Yeah. All these great axioms that I keep not mentioning again are things that I want to stick on, in particular convexity.
Are there any more questions?
It's just a comment, really, but another interesting related question is, are all reversible locally tomographic theories sub-theories of quantum theory? So quantum theory with some set of allowed states, measurements and transformations, some restricted set, perhaps, which would fit in potentially Rob's example as well. But it also seems like an interesting related question.
Yeah, sure. Here what we can say is that, the state spaces of all those theories are not subspaces of quantum theory since the ball has larger dimension, okay? So at least the embedding would not be the straightforward embedding. Maybe it's embedding with more than one more than two binary systems. But what we can say here is that all these theories, the correlations that they generate can be simulated by quantum theory since, of course, they all generate local correlations.
Any more questions or comments? Okay, if not, then let's thank Luis once more. Thank you, Luis.
Thank you.